Gummer Job of Fillmore Street. This is TheBealPod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from our studios in the Lower Haight in sunny, beautiful San Francisco. Today is Thursday, the 13th of March, 2014. Today's podcast is dedicated to the awesome Chancellor of Germany, Angela Merkel, and the comments she made yesterday about the Kremlin's role in the mess in Ukraine. On this date in 624 was the Battle of Badr between Muhammad's army of newly minted Muslims and the Quraysh of Mecca, taking place in the Hijaz region of Western Arabia. The Muslims won. From here on out, it was on autopilot for early Islam. 1697, the capital of the Maya kingdom fell to conquistadors, the first step in the Spanish conquest of Guatemala. 1781, William Herschel discovered Uranus. That's the planet. 1940, the Finno-Russian War ends. 1943, German forces destroy the Jewish ghetto in Krakow. 1991, Exxon agrees to pay $1 billion for cleanup of the Exxon Valdez oil spill in Alaska. For reference, this is their corporate profit, not gross revenue, but free and clear profit after expenditures during approximately two average work days for the company. 2008, gold prices on the New York Mercantile Exchange hit $1,000 per ounce for the first time. And 1 year ago today, Pope Francis is elected to succeed Pope Benedict XXVI. Today is L. Ron Hubbard's birthday, founder of Scientology. It's just me, Mark Mullen. If you'd like to comment on our blog or ask a question, go to TheBealPod.com or send us an email at TheBealPod@gmail.com. Tbilisi Sakrabulo plans to dismantle about 800 so-called Khrushchevkas, a type of crummy low-house apartment buildings built during the Soviet period. They are really bad news. Low ceilings, built to last around 50 years, which is now expired. Everybody hates them. The investment holding company based in the United Arab, an investment company based in the United Arab Emirates, will carry out the project. Earlier, the Sakrabulo made statements that it had signed a memorandum with the founder of the international trade and investment holding, Salim Umaid Saif, who plans to invest up to $600 million in the project. The government will have to approve the project before it is implemented. Justice Minister Teotihuacan Lukiani commented that she is skeptical of this project. She said it's one of the hardest challenges for the ambitious project to provide all residents of Khrushchevkas with new apartments. Following up on the story last week about changes to visa requirements, the parliament adopted a law on the 5th of March, which comes into effect on the 1st of September. Visa-free stays will be reduced to 90 days. Those who need a visa will find it harder to apply at the border and should apply to Georgian embassies before traveling. Internationals who currently work in Georgia without a visa will have to apply for work permits. The new law will also crack down on those who break the rules. Specific provisions govern the detention of irregular migrants. The Ministry of Interior is currently building a detention center with internet to download podcasts. Parliament adopted a resolution on the developments in Ukraine with 74 votes in favor. UNM didn't take part in the vote because they demanded a stricter resolution. The eight-point resolution states that the aggressive activities of the Russian Federation against Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity is a serious threat not only to Ukraine but to Georgia and all of Europe. Prime Minister Irakli Kharabashvili addressed EU member states leaders and condemned Russia's activities in Ukraine. He said the Ukrainian government should not trust Misha's advice. Misha responded to Kharabashvili's statement saying, "The Georgian government can calm down. I'm not taking any formal positions elsewhere." 68 Russian artists, including the president of the Russian Academy of Art, Zurab Tsereteli, ballet dancer Nika Tsiskaridze, and actor Sergei Bezhrukov released a letter in support of Putin's position regarding Crimea. Very interesting comments by the well-known novelist Boris Akunin, who was born in Zestaponi and whose real name is Kartashvili, saying, "Great, this shows that Putin is nervous and is forcing people to choose sides. The gray area is narrowing quickly." In response, a non-governmental group, Georgia's Chamber of Culture, canceled Sergei Bezhrukov's performance in Tbilisi. The Chamber of Culture expressed support for Ukrainian sovereignty and territorial integrity. If you look at the UNM and the comments by the majority, the majority comments were pretty tame. I would say that Angela Merkel's comments, amazingly, were much strict and clear than them. The UNM were much stronger. On the 10th of March, the Georgian government published President Obama's letter to Irakli Garibashvili. In the letter, Obama expressed a hope that he will meet Garibashvili in the third nuclear summit in The Hague in March. Representatives from 53 states will attend the summit and will have over 5,000 delegates in attendance. On the 6th of March, Russian military helicopters violated Georgian airspace by flying over police stations and Georgian Interior Ministry checkpoints near Gori and Zugdidi. Foreign Minister Maya Panjukidze said that this was a violation of Georgian sovereignty and a violation of the ceasefire agreement. On the 6th of March, Georgian NGOs started a campaign against illegal wiretapping and surveillance. Numerous NGOs are involved, including GILA, TI Georgia, Article 42, Open Society Georgia Foundation, Soros, Institute for Developing Freedom of Information, and ISFED, according to TI Director Ekigi Gaudi. Although a judge's order is legally required for recording phone calls, there is no oversight of the Ministry of Internal Affairs, which is able to automatically get information without mobile operators knowing who is being monitored. The campaign will include a survey and turning off cell phones for 2 hours as a protest. Tbilisi City Council passed the city budget with 41 votes in favor and 2 abstentions. The city's budget is 785 million lari. 88 million lari will be spent on building transport infrastructure. 156 million lari will be spent on construction and repair of infrastructure facilities and damaged buildings. 70 million lari is for improving ecology. 22 million lari for economic development. 186 million lari for healthcare. Following up on last week's story about UNM's mayor candidate, UNM will not have a primary and instead name Nika Melia as their candidate for Tbilisi mayor in the local elections in June. Vashadze, who initially announced he would run, said he decided to withdraw from the race. Melia chaired the National Bureau of Enforcement before the 2012 parliamentary elections. Former Defense Minister Irakli Okroashvili said that he wants to run for mayor of Gori in the local elections. But his bid to run has a major legal hurdle. Okroashvili fails to meet the 2-year residency requirement. He claims there are loopholes in the law which will allow him to run, though he did not elaborate. He said he is ready to return Stalin's statue to Gori within 10 days of being elected. Energy Minister Kahi Kaladze will be leading the Georgian Dreams election headquarters, and will be in charge of the party's election campaign. Former mayor of Tbilisi, Guy Ugulava, who was suspended from his post, accused the prosecutor's office of illegally reading his personal text messages and listening in on his phone calls. Ugulava presented an excerpt from a phone conversation with his daughter in which they agreed on a meeting. According to Ugulava, the prosecution included his conversation in the materials of his criminal case. He demanded that the prosecution explained how this phone conversation can be linked with the investigation. Tbilisi City Court froze former Defense Minister Dato Kezadashvili's Georgian bank accounts, which have $7.4 million in them. Kezadashvili's lawyer says this is illegal. On the 6th of March, Tbilisi City Court declared 2 Russian citizens, Mikhail Kadyev and Rizman Omarov, guilty of illegal procuring and possessing of guns and explosives. Both were sentenced to 2 years in prison. As a reminder, on the 15th of June, 2013, Kadyev and Omarov, 2 Dagestanis, were detained and charged with illegally possessing weapons and explosives. Police suspect they were preparing to carry out acts of terrorism. The 8th of March, police broke up a protest in the village of Hurta, where a Norwegian company intends to build a hydropower plant. Villagers, joined by other villagers from nearby town, argue that the construction will damage the fragile mountainous environment and cause more landslides. The next day, the village and the government agreed that the government will reimburse for damage caused by the construction of the hydropower plant. On the 7th of March, workers protest in front of the state chancery building demanding better labor conditions. Following up on last week's story about the strike in Kazreti, the world's oldest gold mine, the Ministry of Health's appointed mediator, the lawyer Irakli Kandashvili, held a first round of negotiations in the village between miners and RMG Gold, a company which owns the mine in Kazreti. Workers are pessimistic about the negotiations. As a reminder, the workers demand better working conditions, higher wages, and new managers. According to public defender Uchu Nanoashvili, inmates in the No. 7 penitentiary facility do not have shelves on which to put everyday personal care items, so are forced to put toothbrushes, towels, and other items on the floor. He demanded prison ministry immediately provide better living conditions. He added that some of the cells are damp, which may contribute to tuberculosis, and inmates who do not have enough warm clothes. There are also cases where inmates with tuberculosis are placed with healthy ones. Georgia is starting a pilot project to introduce electronic governance. The Justice Ministry announced the 5-year project, which aims to improve state services for people and strengthen the local level of government. The Prime Minister will lead the State Commission and will make monthly reports about the progress. Justice Minister Teo Lukiani said that according to the ministry's research, 666, or the number of the beast, was in thousands of old paper ID cards. So Lukiani clarified there will be no such number in the new electronic ID cards. According to the minister, the research will be made public in the near future, most likely on Friday, the 13th of June. Just kidding. Just the near future. Teo Akhlediani was appointed Georgian ambassador to Estonia. She worked at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs as a head of the Department of European Integration. A new competition was announced for the remaining 5 vacant seats in the Georgian Public Broadcasters Board of Trustees. As a reminder, since late December, the parliament has twice failed to choose a sufficient number of candidates to form a new board. The deadline for submitting the application is the 26th of March. Nobody of much influence in the majority really wants to fill these seats, certainly with anybody particularly independent. Georgia ranked top in the region in an international report measuring rule of law performance. Georgia was first in the Eastern Europe and Central Asia region and 31st out of the 99 surveyed countries. More than 100,000 households across the globe were surveyed by the World Justice Project and ranked in the Rule of Law Index 2014. According to Geostat, there were $914 million of foreign investment in Georgia last year. This is 6% higher than the 2012 number. The government will work on an anti-hail system in order to reduce the damage caused by hail by 85 to 95%. The cloud seeding project will cost 20 million lari and will be carried out by the Delta Technical Scientific Center, ominously named. All Georgian products will be free of customs tax while entering the EU market as soon as the association agreement takes effect in August. However, this will not cover garlic. Georgia will have to pay a customs tax if it exceeds its 220 tons of garlic quota. Pretty big quota. It's a lot of garlic. The Hungarian low-cost airlines Wizz Air plans to begin flights from Kutaisi to Budapest in the fall. The price of one-way ticket will be 30 euros. The first flight is scheduled for the 30th of September. Flights will run twice a week. Georgia's national football championship match in Kutaisi ended in violence when the fans of the local football Torpedo team flooded the field and attacked Dinamo's players and fans. Patrol police and riot police escorted FC Dinamo players and fans from the stadium. 5 Dinamo players were injured as a result of numerous fans. Football Federation fined Torpedo 18,300 lari and Dinamo Tbilisi 800 lari. Torpedo and Dinamo must play their next 5 matches in a neutral stadium. In parliamentary news, Parliament started reviewing the draft regarding changes to rules for VAT taxation and abolishing advantages for importers on certain categories of goods. The draft was initiated by the parliamentary faction of Georgian Dream Industrialists. The faction leader is Gogi Topadze, well known in Georgia for his brewery business. Topadze's faction wants to remove the regulation from legislation which defines a special VAT tax on imports. This clause gives tax breaks for certain categories of goods if a person or organization paid more than 200,000 lari of taxes during the past 12 months. The authors of the draft think this regulation creates an uncompetitive environment for people who cannot reach this amount of turnover during the year. This will typically be small and medium-sized businesses. Seems reasonable to me. UNM criticized the draft. They say members of Georgian Dream are trying to lobby their own business interests and that the new rules will hamper economic development of the country. In order to become more in alignment with European institutions, Parliament passed amendments which structurally change the Chancellery. There will now be a new Department of Political Analysis, Strategic Planning, and Monitoring of the Administration. It will monitor government implementation according to European regulations. Chancellery will now be called the Administration of the Government. In Kvitis Azrebi this week, on the 9th of March, Eka Togonidze talked about the 2018 Frankfurt Book Fair, where Georgia has been invited as a featured guest country. She said that Georgia can promote Georgian literature, culture, and cuisine during the event. She noted that Stalin loved reading, and he read 20,000 books in his lifetime. According to her, there is a problem in the Georgian education system. Georgia needs to read more books to be more analytical the way Stalin was. The meme this week, spokesperson of the Interior Ministry, Nino Ghirigobiani, posted a photo on Facebook that went viral. In the description, Ghirigobiani wrote, "A miracle, a passenger on an aircraft which was en route from Tbilisi to Amsterdam saw a strange picture on the window. I personally think that it is St. Nicholas." An article by, this is stuff to read, an article by Mamuka Tsedateli and Edward Joseph, titled, "After Ukraine, NATO Must Give Georgia Its Map." According to the authors, in the past, Europeans often laid the blame on Georgia's former leadership for escalating the standoff with Russia. However, parliamentary elections in 2012 and presidential elections in 2013 have seen a peaceful transfer of power to the new Georgian leadership that has shown restraint in its comments about Russia, and even hawkish Russian politicians acknowledge the change in tone in Tbilisi. But so far, Europe has not fully adjusted its view. In September, President Obama will join with other Western leaders at the NATO summit in Cardiff, Wales. Around Eastern Europe, the Caucasus, and Central Asia, the principal decisions by NATO to grant Georgia a map will be seen as a just reward for Georgia's difficult reforms and also a sign of Western resolve. An article by Londa Beria about Azerbaijani women in Marnauli. According to the author, 83% of residents of Marnauli are Azerbaijanis. The lack of knowledge of the official language, a lack of jobs, and almost non-existent infrastructure. This is a short list of problems that people living there complain about. One of the problems is also gender equality. Even in the city of Marnauli, which is a bit more developed than nearby villages, men's approach to women's rights is that they think women should only be concerned with family and children. They think this is a tradition. It does not need to be changed. A post by Dustin Galbraith about why some Georgians don't want to join the EU. The blog explores data on those who are less supportive or against EU integration. A minority of Georgians are against closer ties to the EU, and the reasons are related to satisfaction with life, the perceived political situation, and the perceived economic position of Georgia and their households. My article, Crimea and the Resolution Bias, in Medium.com, I argue that Vladimir Putin's world is different. He wants respect, and in his world, that is the same as fear and envy. The Crimea issue will become the parasite that sucks all the blood, oxygen, and energy out of the Ukraine body politic, just as Abkhazia and South Ossetia has for Georgia, Karabakh has for Armenia and Azerbaijan, and the Transnistria has for Moldova. Putin is not obliged to have a goal because maybe he just wants to mess things up. Maybe he just wants and needs to sit back and enjoy watching everybody freak out at what he's made happen. Sort of a different foreign policy mode. I've also written one in Medium on thanking Angela Merkel for her very clear comments about Ukraine. Let's see how that's followed up. Article by TI Georgia about the new local government code. TI Georgia gives an overview of the main novelties of the code. And an assessment. The changes include the administrative territorial system, election of Gamgibeli mayor, property of a self-governing unit, and others. It's great, well-written, not too technical. I'd really recommend everybody taking a look at that to understand what's happening in the new local government situation. All those will be posted on the forum. This week's GeoCapital number is 874 million euros, which is the volume of EU exports to Georgia in the first half of 2013, according to Eurostat. Among Eastern Partnership countries, Ukraine is the leading destination for EU exports in the first half of 2014, with 11 billion euros, or 59% of total exports. Ukraine is followed by Belarus with 4.1 billion euros, which is 21% of total. The leading source of EU exports from Eastern European partners, is also Ukraine with 7 billion euros or 44% of total, followed by Azerbaijan with 6.3 billion or 39%. EU imports from Georgia amounted to 341 million euros in the first half of 2013. EU exports and imports to and from Armenia equal 330 and 150 million euros, respectively. This week's English language movie at the Roosevelt Valley Movie Theater across from Parliament is on Saturday, the 15th of March, The Monuments Men at 8 p.m. On the 14th of March, TBC Gallery invites you to a charity exhibition and auction to support a four-month-old baby, Vebkhia Goderdzhashvili, who is diagnosed with microcephaly, cerebral palsy, and epilepsy. The opening ceremony of the exhibition will be held at 2 p.m. The auction starts at 7 p.m. The venue is TBC Bank's Central Branch, 7 Marginashvili Street. The next works in progress will be on the 19th of March at 6:15. Aaron Koch from the University of Kentucky will present Infectious Disease and IDPs in Zugdidi. The address is 3 Kafsaradze Street, which is in Vake. On the 14th of March at 7 p.m., Siesta Publishing House invites you to the photo exhibition and presentation of the book Corpus 18 by documentary photographer Uta Baer. Baer is a German photographer based in Tbilisi, Germany. I think he's Swiss, but maybe German. Since she's based here since 2009, the event will be held at the Writer's House at 13 Machiavelli Street. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tabeelpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website at www.tabeelpod.com. And we will finish with New Orleans' own Fats Domino. By the way, the big man is still alive and well at 86 years old, still in the Crescent City where he stayed during Katrina. This is his 1959 hit, I'm Ready.
Well, I'm ready, I'm willing, and I'm able to rock and roll all night. I'm ready, I'm willing, and I'm able to rock and roll all night. Come on, pretty baby, we're gonna rock, we're gonna roll until the broad daylight. Because I'm ready, and I'm able, I'm willing and I'm able, so you better come and go with me. Gonna rock and roll, tell them all about freedom. Talking on the phone is not my speed. Don't send me no letter, cause I can't read. Don't be long, cause I'll be gone. We gonna rock and roll long night long. Cause I'm ready, I'm willing, and I'm able to rock and roll all night. I'm ready, I'm willing, and I'm able to rock and roll all night. Come on, pretty baby, we're gonna rock, we're gonna rock.